Well, this morning, we're actually having four questions before us as we're dealing with life's most important questions. And I've chosen to deal with this passage in Romans chapter 10 because our church is going to be having a mission report from Ray and Craig Coburn. They're our missionaries to the nation of Japan, and they're on home furlough right now, and they've chosen to come and speak a few words to us during our morning worship service tomorrow. And as I was thinking about which questions that would be appropriate for today, I couldn't help but think of this passage of Scripture. You know, I think this is a very pertinent portion of Scripture for our day and age. It just seems to me that generally there is not the same zeal and passion for missions and evangelism that there once was in the church, especially the evangelical church. And perhaps even though this is a familiar passage, even though you could answer each of these questions yourself very easily, it's a very simplistic passage, we aren't truly asking ourselves these questions in our heart. We're not listening to the answers. We're not letting this passage transform our lives and our thoughts. And my hope and prayer today is that the Holy Spirit is going to use this message to rise up within all of our hearts a zeal for the gospel of our Jesus Christ, which is the only hope for this world. And so with that introduction, let us now turn to Romans chapter 10. I'm going to begin reading at verse 11. And I'll conclude my reading at verse 17. And so we begin. For Scripture says, everyone who believes in him, now that is Jesus, will not be put to shame. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Well, how then can they call on him whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in him whom they have never heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. This is God's word to us today, and may God add his blessing to it. May we truly have hearts that hear the word of Christ this day. Do you notice as I began reading in verse 11, we have two promises that open this passage of Scripture. The first one is this: everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Do you realize that there is a day coming when each and every person must stand before God and must give an account for their life, everything they've done, thought, or said? Do you realize that every action, every idle word, and every secret thought you've had will be revealed on that day for all to see? Let that sink in. Let that sink in. You see, ultimately, there will be no skeletons in the closet. Your deepest, darkest secrets will be revealed. And on that day, unless you have Christ in your life, you will be put to shame. That's why this text speaks of shame. For every one of us must give an account of Jesus. And we will be put to shame unless we trust in Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul gives us the second incredible promise here. The promise how we can avoid that shame. For he says, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, this is what God's offering us in the gospel. salvation and freedom from shame. It's only a desperation call away. All we have to do is call upon the name of the Lord, and we will not have to fear that judgment day. Because Jesus Christ will take all those skeletons in the closet, every sin we've ever committed, whether revealed or hidden, and has been placed on Him, and it is washed away forever. My friends, this is incredibly good news. This is the gospel of God. Did you notice how this passage says that it's without exception? It applies equally to the Jews who are God's covenant people. But it also says that it also applies to the Greeks. And by that, Paul was talking about all non-Jewish peoples of this world. Be they Greek, be they from Japan, be they from America, whatever your origins, whatever color skin you have, whatever language you speak, all you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved. However, there's a great problem here. And Paul wants to make sure we understand the implications of this. For he begins to say, ask a series of questions. And he says, how will they call on him whom they have not believed? You see, belief in Christ Jesus is necessary for salvation. Billions of people in this world are not calling upon the name of Jesus Christ. And why? Because they do not believe in him. You know, this is so simplistic that we often miss it. I mean, there's nothing profound about this, but it is profound. Unless we believe, we will not call. Early on in this pandemic, doctors avoided the use of anti-inflammatory drugs because they believed it would not do any good. In fact, they believed anti-inflammatory drugs like steroids would actually do more harm than good. And instead, they turned to respirators to treat these early coronavirus patients. In doing so, they only made matters worse. For as it turns out, inflammation is the real killer with the coronavirus. And now physicians are using anti-inflammatory drugs and trying to avoid using respirators, which cause inflammation in their treatment of coronavirus. And the death rate has plummeted, praise God. You know, we're the same way. We have to believe that Jesus can save us. We have to believe that Jesus is the treatment for our sin and our shame. Just as physicians now believe in anti-inflammatory drugs, we must believe in Jesus Christ. But that leads to the second question that Paul asks us here in this passage. For he says, how can they hear without someone preaching? You see, hearing is necessary for belief. Until the word got out that anti-inflammatory drugs were effective in treating the coronavirus, physicians, as I said, were not using it. In fact, they were avoiding it. Well, in the same way, people have to hear about Jesus Christ before they call upon him. Now, I need to clarify something here. It's not simply hearing the name Jesus that counts. Today, because of our mass media and educational system, the print press, almost every person on this planet has heard about Jesus Christ. Say, he's in the textbooks, he's on TV shows, he's felt and believed by most people as a religious leader, the founder of Christianity, a great teacher. You know, years ago when the missionaries first came to the nation of Japan, at that time, the people of Japan had not heard the name of Jesus. It took the earliest missionaries to get the word out that there's a man named Jesus. But that's not the situation now. The Japanese are highly educated people. The Colburns don't need to tell them there's someone by the name of Jesus. No, what the Colburns need to do as they do their mission work in Japan is to give them the good news about Jesus, that Jesus is able to save. This is what is called preaching. It's a heralding of what Christ can do. Now, back to the illustration of anti-inflammatory drugs for the treatment of coronavirus. You know, doctors, they knew for a long time about anti-inflammatory drugs. But what they lacked was the knowledge that this would help the patients rather than harm them. That's why we need preaching. Which brings us to the next question. How can they hear without someone preaching? Preaching is necessary for hearing. Preaching is a very special form of communication. You may have noticed just a moment ago I used the word heralding, because that's exactly what it meant in the original context. To be someone, a herald. You know, back in the days, the heralds would go through the streets and they would hear ye, the news. That's what we're to do, all of us, is give people the good news. We typically think of preaching simply as a teaching experience, as expounding upon the text that a teaching elder does, which I'm doing right now, and that indeed is preaching, but the word preaching is much broader. You see, missionaries preach, even though they may not be teaching elders. You preach when you teach your children or grandchildren about Jesus Christ, when you share the gospel with your neighbors. In fact, we need to understand that we are all called to be preachers. We're all called to be preachers. And this brings us to the final question that Paul asks in this passage. For he says, how can they preach unless they are sent? And what he's saying is that person does not have the right to be a herald unless they are sent by higher authority. I want to assure you that you've been called. You've been sent to preach. The Colburns have been called and sent to preach. And I, the teaching elder, have been called to preach. First of all, we've all been. All Christians are called. Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. In your hearts, honor Christ as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason of the hope that is in you. Yet do this with gentleness and respect. Do you hear what Peter is saying here? Peter is saying that we need to be living our lives with such hope in the gospel of Jesus Christ that it becomes apparent. You know, we need to be a people in this pandemic, in the midst of all these rites, that everyone else is down and depressed. They see no light at the end of the tunnel. And we need to be walking around as Christians with hope. Because we have hope. We have hope. We know that Jesus is Lord. We know that Jesus is going to establish his kingdom on this world. We know there's a new heaven and new earth. And we know that we will be residents there. Because all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And so when we exhibit that hope, people are going to start asking us why we have hope. And at that point, you need to be prepared to tell them about Jesus Christ and what he's done for you. Now, that general calling of all Christians doesn't mean there's not special callings. We find, for example, that Paul and Barnabas were called by the church of Antioch to be one of the first group of missionaries. For example, in Acts 13, verse 2, we read, while the Christians in Antioch were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said to them, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I've called them. You see, we don't just send out missionaries because someone says, oh, I think I should be a missionary. At least within the Presbyterian tradition, we examine our missionaries. We help them to seek, to discern a call. And until we are convinced they have a call upon the Lord, upon the Lord, to be a missionary, we don't send them out. Without a call, without a commission from the Lord, that's just failure written all over it. It won't happen. You know, there's thousands of people who've gone out to the mission field and have come back as failures because they weren't sent by the Lord. They wanted to go out, but the Lord hadn't commissioned them to go out. And so there has to be a calling. You have a calling to witness to your family, to your friends and neighbors, your colleagues at work, to anyone who asks you to give reason for the hope. The Colburns have a calling to the nation of Japan. Paul and Barnabas were also set apart. It's interesting that the church, when they did that, in the very next verse, it says this: after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. You see, that's what we're doing today as a congregation. We're supporting the Colburns. We're continuing our financial support. We're continuing to pray for them. We're continuing to assure them that we as a congregation, as Green Valley Presbyterian Church, we are behind them and we are sending them off, just as the Church of Antioch sent off Paul and Barnabas. Years later, Paul and Barnabas returned to Antioch, and we read in the book of Acts they gave a report. Well, that's what the Colburns are doing this weekend. They're giving us a report. To close this message, I want you to consider this reality, that the day of judgment draws ever nearer. You know, these words that Paul wrote in Romans 10, they were written almost 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years, folks. The day of judgment is 2,000 years closer today than it was when Paul wrote these words. They had an urgency for the gospel because they believed the Lord was coming back again. Do you have that urgency? You see, if our friends and neighbors, if the people of Japan, if the members of our congregation do not call upon the Lord, they will be put to shame. Do you want those you care about to be put to shame? That's why we have to have a zeal for missions and evangelism, because every soul is present. So as the day of judgment draws nearer, let us make sure that these questions are always in our heart. For how can they believe unless they've heard? Let us pray. Oh, Lord God, we close this time of worship by reflecting upon this text and the powerful meaning behind it. And I know I personally, and I'm sure that many who've listened to this message, we just first of all want to confess to you and our lack of zeal for evangelism and missions. It's not always been what it should be. Do forgive us of this sin. Rekindle in our hearts a love for others, a passion for the glory of Christ, that we can see Christ honored and lifted up in every nation and people across this world, that in every office building in America, in every position of high authority in America, in every school and camp, in every sports team, in every place, that there will be Christians being that witness of hope to others, so that the gospel can go forth, so that people will not be put to shame. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.